Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
This morning's scripture is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Paul's offering a little bit of life counseling, life coaching to the folks. Therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand through him, and we boast of the hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems, because we know that trouble produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope doesn't put us to shame, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. The second reading is from John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. He is preparing everybody for the ascension. I have much more to say to you, but you can't handle it now. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He won't speak on his own, but will say whatever he hears and will proclaim to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and proclaim it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That's why I said that the Spirit takes what is mine and will proclaim it to you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Theologians and those who write materials to help preachers prepare to preach are nearly universal in this instruction on Trinity Sunday. Don't try to explain it, because you'll get lost in it. And honestly, maybe the mystery is what's important. That's it. That's the sermon. No, I'm kidding. Because I am an extrovert, and I'm sure that I'll find some things to say. I was asked this morning, how are you doing? Which is a nice question. Now, I have a tendency to answer that question in a way that maybe sometimes we ask the question and we don't actually want the answer. I have a tendency to give the answer. And so when I said, well, I'm really busy. There's a lot going on this season. And so the wonderful question that followed up was, well, what are you doing? Thank you for asking. I'm an extrovert, and I'm happy to tell you. My oldest son is graduating from high school this week. There have been lots of things with going to awards ceremonies and final concerts, and then, of course, graduation is on Tuesday. I'm so excited. Also, I've said this to you before, I'm the conference secretary for the California Pacific Annual Conference. That... Listen, if you knew what that job was, that not only means that I'm a legal officer for the entity of the annual conference, it means that I am a primary planner, along with an enormous team, for our annual session that includes incredible work. Over the course of the last 2 years, our annual sessions have had to be online only. This year, we recognize that people wanted to gather and be in proximity to one another. And so we had to create an entire new way of doing annual conference that included in-person activities, but also allowed for those who preferred to participate online to do that. Which meant we can't just vote on things by sitting in a room and raising our hands, because that leaves out the voices of the 40% of people who would prefer to do so, to participate through cameras and screens. So we had to find a whole new voting system that would be equitable across those groups. And then the location that we're used to going to, the University of Redlands, I saw that, Bob. The University of Redlands told us a number of things, including if at any time during the gathering one single person tests positive for COVID, you have to clear the campus within 24 hours. Also, here are our price increases. And so we had to find a new place to do annual conference. All these things are changing. Now, you know, I talked about it last week. I'm good with change. I like change. I wrestle with details. And so we've had to do a whole lot of work with a very capable team to start a hybrid last week online, continues this coming Wednesday online, has a travel day, and then 2 days in person. One of the things we're bringing back, by the way, is a wonderful tradition where for the first time in years, those who are gathered together in person will do service work together. One of the things we're doing is something this congregation is familiar with. If you remember the Rise Against Hunger organization, where meals are packed together, there's going to be a room of 600 laity and clergy putting together thousands of meals. What an incredible thing to do, a return to tradition that is partly made possible because we're willing to do conference in a new way. But I will tell you that that's not the last thing on my plate. Because also we have a church council meeting today. Partly will be a special called charge conference because we're preparing to welcome a new associate pastor, wrestling with the emotions about how to welcome a new associate pastor while we continue to care for Pastor Derek, who's on medical leave. And so there's just lots of things going on. And when I was asked so kindly, what's going on and why are you so busy, it's a long story. But here's the thing I want to say about all of these things. Because this, listen, I want to be clear. I'm not saying all these things to you all because I want you to feel sorry for me. No, that's not my point. My point is, yes, this is a lot. And it's only possible when we can work on these things together, in relationship and in community. Because I tell you, I am not capable of doing all these things. But isn't that the nature of the United Methodist Church? Isn't the nature of the United Methodist Church a connectional church? A church that recognizes the value of collaboration and cooperation. What an incredible privilege it is for us to be able to have such a dramatic impact on the disease of malaria in third world countries by gathering together with churches around the globe to put together funding and an infrastructure to distribute nets, something as simple as nets. You may remember the Nothing But Nets campaign, something that has had a profound impact on the spread of malaria. And we could only do it because we did it together. What an incredible impact the Global United Methodist Church is having right now in countries like Haiti, in countries like Ukraine, through the United Methodist Committee on Relief, something our capable United Methodist women are deeply supportive of. Thank you to our UMW. We can do these things because we do them together. But listen, collaboration and cooperation isn't only something that is global on scale because it's small in scale too. This congregation has partnered with other nearby congregations even in that same Rise Against Hunger event. I remember when I was the pastor of Pacific Beach, and there was something hosted here, and members from Pacific Beach came here, members from the San Diego Korean Church came and participated and packed hundreds, I think thousands of meals because we collaborated together. This congregation continues to support the vital ministry that is taking place over at Pacific Beach UMC. Every single week, feeding hundreds and hundreds of people and providing access to services that help people escape homelessness. What a privilege it is to be in collaboration and cooperation with one another. And I would suggest, my friends, that the principal model for this kind of cooperation and collaboration is found in the Holy Trinity. Ancient theologians would describe, now, I'm not going against the advice of my colleagues and friends, but I do want to talk a little bit about how ancient theologians talk about the Trinity. The Cappadocian Fathers, you might need to look that up, that's okay. The Cappadocian Fathers discerned that God is one essence made up of three centers of consciousness as three independent realities that share the same will, nature, and essence. Of these three centers of consciousness, the second is a pre-existent logos, the Greek word for word, who became the historical Jesus of Nazareth. This is to say, Jesus was first a whole and complete part of the one eternal God. The third center of consciousness is called the Holy Spirit, and these three centers of consciousness work in communion with one another. Gregory of Nyssa writes that every operation which extends from God to creation and is designated according to our different conceptions of it have its origin in the Father, proceed through the Son, and reach its completion by the Holy Spirit. Further, Gregory of Nyssa continues, whatever occurs, occurs through the three persons and is not three separate things. Every good thing that happens proceeds from God the Father, or the Creator, if you prefer, through Christ the Son, and is completed in the Holy Spirit. I hope that doesn't overexplain it. I hope that still leaves room for mystery, because frankly, I still, even with those thoughtful words, don't understand the details of it. And I'm not sure I need to. I'm not sure I need to understand the details of how everything can come together in such a way that incredible support can arrive in places like Haiti and Ukraine. Not sure I need to understand the details of all that goes into our UMW and rummage sales and lunches and activities that raise funds that then support UMCOR. Not sure I need those details because I see the incredible work that is done. Not sure I need to know the details of how Chef Ben puts together incredibly nutritious meals at a remarkably low cost so that as many people, both those on the street and those who are simply food insecure, can experience nutrition and community. Not sure I need to know those details. It's a bit of a mystery. But what does it require? It requires our collective participation. Are any of these things possible? Is my mic working? Okay. Do I need to pick up this one? Is this one any better? How are we doing?
Apparently we're better.
Oh.
It requires our collective participation. None of this happens without all of us together participating in community. And sometimes that's hard. I don't know about you, but when I get stressed out, when I feel overwhelmed, one of the things that I can have a tendency to do is withdraw, to compact, to compress, to pull into myself. And I would confess that just like for my own psyche, that's unhealthy. I don't think I'm the only person who does that. Like I've observed that in others as well. I also know that when, and this is part of my extroversion, that when I allow myself to be with people, to do things together, to be in conversation together, to be creative and brainstorm together. In my case, to make music together. That is not only more healthy for me, but it helps me to see the world in a more profound way. One of the things we're going to hear from our chimes this morning, and I wonder if you can imagine what it would be like if only one player were up here playing these chimes. And it would surely be beautiful. But have you heard all the chimes play? All of the musicians play together? I don't know all the details, but in its mystery, it is beautiful. If we all participate. My hope is that as we understand the difficulty of the mystery of the Holy Trinity, or maybe don't understand, if we simply accept the mystery of the Holy Trinity, that we might see it as an example of community, that we might see it as an example of how we are called to participate in the world. In fact, I would take it one tiny step further and say this. If we understand that we are created in the image of God, if we understand that God by nature is triune and is community, then doesn't it make sense that we are created in the image of community? We are created for this. We are created to be connectional. And I believe we are created to make the world better in living this way. May it be so. Amen. As you know, each week we take a moment to consider how we might respond to God's presence in a time of worship. As we consider the idea of community and connection and collaboration, I would invite you to do this over the course of this week. To find a way to extend your community. Now, you may be someone who says, really, I'm sort of I don't have a lot of friends. I don't have a lot of connections. And so maybe your job is to actively find one person with whom to be in relationship and community and connection. You might find that you have a large collection of friends. How do you expand that circle? How do you welcome more? That's my invitation to you over the course of this week, to do something intentional this week to expand your community.